Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with Mayor
Lance Doss.
If you're new to the podcast, hi, welcome. We're so happy you're part of the family. This is where we get to the unfiltered truth about who God is and who he says you are. Today, we have a very special guest. We have John Mark Pantana. Welcome. Ooh. We're so excited.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so John Mark is a musician, singer, songwriter, author, and grace teller. We both found your... Wait, did I send to you his music or did... I think I sent it to you. We both found your music and it literally wrecked us in the spirit so much.
You sent me a Spotify playlist and John Mark's music came on. And I remember I was in my kitchen. I was like, oh my gosh. And I went on a walk and I remember listening to the entire Love Secrets album. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I had heard this like 2 years ago. It really would have helped me. It just really impacted me in a way that, I don't know, I really felt the Lord speaking to me and I felt comforted. I felt his love. And then I shared it with Stoss. We were in Sacramento and I played a few songs. I think I played Made for Jesus and I remember that one.
We were and then On Your Mind.
Yeah.
It's just so, just, you can like hear the Spirit of God when you're like singing and just everything that you pour out on your albums are just, I know like God has led you and directed you through your music and your song lyrics and your producing. So we just wanted to say that it's just impacted us so much and I'm sure it's impacting a lot of people around the world.
It's amazing.
I want to know, okay, so I am reading John Mark's book. He has a book called Love Secrets. It came out with the album It Goes With It, which is really cool. It's on Amazon. You guys will have the link in the description to where you can buy it. I definitely recommend reading it as you listen to his album. But I would love to know, John, like what your, because I kind of got an idea of your testimony from the book. But for the listeners, like if you can give us kind of a summarized version of how you encountered Jesus in your car that day and kind of what your story is.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to tell that. I love telling it. So I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and pops were actually traveling singers and, they traveled from church to church along the East Coast. I was in the youngest of four bros and my brothers were all 10 years or more older than me. So I got beat up in the station wagon a lot when we were traveling. I was a little kid and, they would just go from church to church. And then we finally landed when I was in the first grade in the Blue Hills of Virginia, which is Lynchburg. It's right in
I've
the
been
middle.
There.
Yeah, it's famous for Liberty University. It's one of the world's largest Christian universities. And so I've been in Lynchburg since I was in the first grade. And I went to Christian Academy from first through eighth grade. And I was the kid who walked the aisle every week to get resaved.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I just didn't know, you know? So it was like a lot of emotional decisions and. But no real, you know, relationship with God. And obviously those are pretty formidable years and you don't, you know, it's kind of hard to really know where your motives are coming from and to discern what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. Because you're just being influenced by older people. But yeah, so I was that kid. And then I actually left Christian school. I convinced my mom that it wasn't challenging me. And I homeschooled, but I actually played video games all day, every day. It's kind of a long story. I won't get into the details of it, but basically I stuck in a chair for 16 hours a day and I played video games from 14 to 19.
Oh, wow.
So I was the gamer addict in mom's basement. That was me. And very socially awkward. And pretty nerdy, still a little bit nerdy. I would
We're
hope
all nerdy.
We're all a little nerdy in our own way, yeah. So that was me. And during those 5 years, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a gaming atmosphere, but it's pretty foul. It's like kind of the depths of the bowels of the internet. And so I became a pretty foul person and I definitely lost my faith in God. I became basically a closet atheist in a Christian home. And so I would say I left the faith for the first time when I was 14. And then when I was 19, I heard a super, honestly, just very fear-based message, and it scared me. And I say this in my book that fear is a great motivator, and it can motivate men to do wild things, but it has no ability to produce real relationship with God. And so that's basically what happened. It was a fear-based motivation to have a relationship with God. And I ended up enrolling in Liberty University, which is a Christian higher education, at the age of 19, after I miraculously passed high school. And I roller coastered up and down with God for 3 years, basically, in a works-based, performance, religious-based version of Christianity again. And honestly, it's kind of the worst of all time. I hated it. And I kind of came to the end of my rope again for the second time when I was around 22 at a Christian university. And I remember talking to my best bud at the time, and I said, "Hey, Josh, what do you think of the Christian life?" And he was like, "Oh, it's okay." And I basically just spilled my guts, and this is where I was at. I said, "God feels so far away. I don't feel like I know him. I'm still doubting my salvation. I've never seen anyone move in power. I've never seen anyone get healed. When I read the Bible, I only feel condemned. I feel like I try my best and I can't ever measure up. I only feel guilty." I basically just was like, this is not doing it for me. I can't do the Christian life anymore. I'm done. So I walked away from the faith for the second time at the age of 22, and I became a pothead and basically was high all day, every day for the next 2 years. And I convinced a lot of, innocent little Christian people to smoke pot with me, unfortunately. because
it's okay. I've been there. I was a pothead in high school.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Surprise. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was exposed to it my freshman year of high school. And then I also, like, first time drinking, getting drunk was 14 too. I was bad. Anyway,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was really jaded at that point, and so I kind of was like, I'm gonna stick it to God. And I was like, I'm going to go for the gold. I'm going to get all of these people who are trying to have a relationship with God, and ultimately just try and get him to trip up, which is a pretty terrible mindset and pretty vindictive. But, you know, fear, I mean, I was always afraid of God, an unhealthy fear of God. And that unchecked.
Not a reverence, but like afraid. Yeah.
Definitely not a reverence. Definitely like, I think God is going to kill me at any point. I mean,
smite you.
Oh, completely. Like there was times literally in my heart when a thunderstorm would come through our city and I thought it might be God trying to kill me. I mean, I had a very harsh view of God. I took all the religious versions of God and I ran with that mindset. And so I would confess my sins until I was blue in the face. You know, I really wanted to have a relationship with God. I really tried as hard as I possibly could, but I found in the system that I was in, the belief and the mindsets that I had, it was impossible. Mm-hmm. And so I became very angry and jaded towards God. And so that was kind of my mindset, was God was the worst of all time, and here's the middle finger. And, I didn't want anyone to talk about it. It was a buzzkill, you know, and so I wanted to get away from it. And so for 2 years, I kind of just did whatever I wanted to do. And again, miraculously passed college as a raging pothead at a Christian university. And so that was that's what happened. And then I actually got shipped out to Arkansas. And I left my hometown for the first time after I graduated Liberty. And it was there in a Walmart parking lot, actually, that I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And I was listening actually to a Joseph Prince message. It was on the radio, and he basically read my mail. And I had never, you know, I grew up in a very conservative type of environment. I had never seen the Holy Spirit move in power. I was taught that the Holy Spirit's gifts and things like that were either demonic or just not for today or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, my story, I talk about this in the book, but my mom was a piano player, and she went from church to church, and she crossed all the denominational lines. And so I had some pretty wild, terrible encounters with the swirly side of Charismania as well. And anyway, you know, there's a healthy version of everything. And so basically I experienced the Holy Spirit in power in my car. And he basically was like, you've been asking God to show himself to you. And I had been, even though, you know, it was like, you know, a very honest, like, God, if you're real, I want to know what you're really like. I didn't know if it was Jesus. I was just kind of like a spiritual seeker at that point of like, if you're real, please show yourself to me. But the version of God that was presented and I experienced in Christianity was not it. And so I experienced Jesus. Yeah, it's definitely, it's Jesus. Jesus is the light. And I experienced his love, unconditional love, in an experiential way via the Holy Spirit in my car. And yeah, he was like, if, what did he say? He said, call God dad. God wants you to call him dad. And I basically had this father-son moment and just, it felt like time passed away and I experienced pure love. You know, it was in that moment, that fatherly love. It was like so confusing to my religiosity because he was so proud of me. The father embraced me in a beautiful way. And he was so proud of me. He loved me. He was delighting over me. He was dancing over me with joy. He was, you know, it was just like nothing else mattered other than the fact that he was my father and I was his son. And that's all there was to it. And he loved me. He made me, he molded me. I was made for him.
So good.
And I just remember after like the dust settled from that moment that I was kind of like in shock because I was like, wait, that's what God is like? You've got to be kidding. Yeah, you've got to be joking me. I have been sipping on some sour wine my whole life. This is like, this is way better. And I basically just like made a vow to myself. I was like, I only want the real thing. I'm not going to sip on the craptastic Kool-Aid anymore, man. I want the real stuff. Give me the real thing. So that's
when
it all started.
Have you heard the song Real Thing by Maverick City? That song will wreck.
Yeah, Mav City is unreal.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's incredible. How did that encounter just come in the Walmart parking lot? Like, did you pray prior to that, like Holy Spirit or God show me that you're with me? Like, or was it just miraculously like the Spirit came onto you?
No, it was definitely via the podcast. So, or the message I was listening
to
in my car.
Okay.
Yeah, he got basically prophetic words and read my mail. And then he said, God wants to show himself to you as father. And then I opened my heart to him.
Wow.
And then the Holy Spirit kind of embraced me in a very prodigal son way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happened.
Jesus encounters.
Wow, that's
yeah.
incredible. So how long ago was that? How's your life look like now?
How long ago was that? That was 7 years ago now, actually.
Okay.
So for the next 3 years in Arkansas, after that moment, I basically honeymooned with God. I became really close friends. It felt like I actually became a little bit of a weirdo in a new way.
I'm married to Jesus. It's casual.
Yeah, it was to the point where my friends would be like, do you want to go watch a movie? And it would just be like, actually, no, I kind of want to just like spend time with God.
Aww,
I just had no desire to do anything else. It was just like, once you taste like real, like God is a living person. If he made all things and he's the source of all life, joy, satisfaction, contentment, joy, pleasure, you know, there's a million pleasures at his right hand forevermore. You know, if that's actually true and then you drink that drink, you know, your soul actually is longing, legitimately longing for the real person, living God, you know? So it's like, once I drank, I was like, this is what I'm living for. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I'm living for. And so I basically just, I became monk status. And, you know, whereas I used to spend 16 hours all day, every day high or playing video games, it kind of became God at that point. So I just was like reading my Bible and the Holy Spirit was teaching me the scriptures. You know, the scriptures used to condemn me so badly and I was always so confused. Mm. And the same ones that really honestly felt like it was just a mallet mashing me on the head, the Holy Spirit unveiled in a beautiful, loving way where I just saw it completely different. It was like Jesus had to unveil the scriptures to me. So it was beautiful. Yeah, for 3 years I drank it in, the Lord's love for 3 years. And then I moved back to Lynchburg, back to my hometown. And that's actually when I started writing music really for the first. Well, that's not true. I didn't write music for the first time. I wrote Jesus music, I should say, for the first time. I have a degree in songwriting.
What age did you initially, like, did your mom teach you piano or guitar growing up? And like, when did you start to like initially realize, okay, I have a voice and I should be using it?
So I did not want to do music or church from a young age because of the whole mom and pop's traveling singer thing. And so I ran from music my whole life. The first time I really played music was when I was 19.
Wow.
My mom is a piano teacher. And like I said, she played piano, but she never taught me because I didn't want to. And it was when I started going to Liberty that I just started having a desire to play music. And I taught myself piano. I put scotch tape on all the keys and taught myself. And then I got a degree in music.
And God probably put that desire on your heart because he wanted you to
It must have make been
music. Yeah. Oh, it was.
It must have been.
It was.
My two albums are Mighty Grace. So Mighty Grace is really just me in a room with a guitar. And so when I moved back to Lynchburg after I honeymooned with God for 3 years, it was to plant house churches with my big bro, Philip. So I left two jobs, a church plant to plant a church in Colorado, and a relationship to come back to Lynchburg on a salary of $0. It was a huge faith step. And, you know, I didn't think I would ever move back home. And the Lord said, move back home and plant house churches for no money. And I was like, okay, God, I trust you. I like actually trust you because I've been enjoying you. Well, faith is honestly such an effortless thing when you really know the Father's heart and you're in a, I feel like you're in just like an, you know, overwhelmed with his love, you know, it's just kind of like, it makes sense at that point because you know he cares for you. You know, he's not leading you into poison waters. You know, he's leading you into pastures and Manuka healing waters. You know, he's got a kind heart.
Obedience. You can,
yeah, exactly. Obedience is just a fruit of knowing his heart and his love. And so, I came back to Lynchburg and, basically just in the closet of my room was worshiping God with my guitar and wrote these songs. And my friends in Lynchburg were like, hey, can you put these songs on Spotify? And I was like, I don't know how to do that. And I was like, so I'll do some research and figure it out. But I basically was not trying to write an album. I just was kind of worshiping the Lord. And I put 13 songs out on the interwebs for the first time in 2017. And that album's called Mighty Grace. It's very raw. Literally the first track has an ambulance going by and it's literally because I live near a fire station. You know, it's not like it wasn't really produced. It's honestly just one shot takes of me playing the songs that I wrote.
I love that album. I hadn't listened to it until like pretty recently, maybe a few months ago. My friend sent me Grace and it's so funny because I think, okay, so last summer, I think I was under just like some religious spirit. Like I was very like, I was condemning of myself and others. And I don't know, I just didn't understand God's grace at all. And when I listened to that album, like for some reason, it just like something clicked and I was like, whoa. And it like changed a lot. And now I'm just like seeing things in a totally different way. And the Lord's been like revealing things to me. So I'm just.
That's a sweet one. Yeah. That album has a special place in my heart. It always will. You know, it feels just like it reminds me of the honeymoon that I had with God for 3 years where it was just felt like it was just me and him. So for Mighty Grace, I wrote 20 songs and they were all on YouTube. And my friends were like, can you put this on Spotify? And my pastor was like, I can make you an album art. And I was like, you do graphic design? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I didn't even know. He's an amazing designer. You should follow him. Anyway, he blew up. I didn't even know he was talented. We became friends way before either of us ever did music or design. But anyway, he made Mighty Grace. And I was not thinking of making an album when I did Mighty Grace. It just kind of all came together. Good. Yeah, he's amazing. But Love Secrets was definitely more, I want to craft an album and tell a story from beginning to end. And then I teamed up with my bud, Danny Schick, who produced Love Secrets. So there's an obvious jump in quality from the first to the second album.
Okay.
And it's because I worked with a producer who is very, very talented. And we became like bros. We weren't actually meaning to make music together. He just, I was a RD at a guy's home. And he moved in and needed a place to stay. And he just happened to be an up-and-coming producer. And we worked really well together. And
yeah.
We ended up making the album together. Now we're making another one together.
I'm so excited. That just made my day. When is it coming out?
So we have a deadline to finish production by August 1st.
Okay.
Because he'll actually be going to California then. But let's see. I don't know. I've been telling people we're shooting for the summer, for like a summer release, but it'll probably be fall or winter of this year.
That would make our summer.
I know.
I would love for it to be. We have been kind of running behind because they moved here and I have been in process of closing on a home. Thank you so much. Not in California. No. It's still in Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in Virginia right now with me. And so we're actually all at my loft apartment with a kind of a temporary studio set up because we're waiting on this house to close. To record the album in the house. So,
nice.
We're doing the best with what we can now. We got a temporary studio. We're actually going to start tracking tomorrow, guitars on the first song tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'm really excited, by the way. The next album, I think it's, I don't know if everyone says this, but I feel like it's the best thing I've ever made. I feel more seasoned. I feel like a more seasoned songwriter, and then in just in terms of crafting an album, like a story from beginning to end, it's incredibly intentional. And so it's also fresh for me, all the stuff that I'm writing, because the Lord has still been teaching me and encountering me in new ways, and so it's still fresh. It's good. That's it's gonna amazing. Be good. I'm excited.
Does Spotify or Apple tell you how many like downloads or like how many people have your album?
Are you wanting to know how many?
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say it. Just because I know that people will, you know, put out their stuff out there and then they'll like post and say thank you so much for this many streams, and it's so cool to see like like all of these people like supporting your music or supporting their music, because it's a cool thing. So I just wanted to know if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind. So just Spotify. I won't use Apple Music or any other stores. Spotify. Love Secrets studio album has been streamed about 15 million times. And then...
Guys, you guys.
That's a lot of seeds planted.
I was expecting like a mil, but I knew... like you're just so powerful and anointed. Wow. Like, I'm just so happy that God has risen you up.
Yeah, it's surreal. It's honestly weird because, you know, I've been working full time during all this whole thing. My family owns a roofing company. So when I was planning house churches, and then we started a roofing company, and I've been working full time while the music blew up. You know, I wasn't expecting the music to do so well. And it's just been kind of this kind of crazy hands-off thing that the Lord feels like he's doing all the heavy lifting, and I'm just kind of over here
praise
a goofy
God.
White boy doing roofing.
Praise God. And then, you know, 420 praise it. I said that on my woman's Bible study last night and they were weak. Should we talk about health really quick?
Yes. Let's John, we saw that you posted about your story. Meredith shared with me about your story, if you want to go into that. And then Meredith had some we just wanted to ask you questions about like your health story. So what I had last year because of stress, just like environmental and family, you know, last year was like really stressful. And so it really impacted my health. And so I basically got so stressed, my immune system shut down, where I had like, I don't know if you're familiar with leaky gut. I had just, I lost a lot of weight. My hair was falling out. I was just malnourished. And on top of that, the internet wanted to tell me to
fix my gut problems through no carbs. I was so miserable. And I was with her, Meredith last year a couple times. Like, I would visit LA and she was like really concerned. And she was like, you need to eat sugar. And I was like, nope. But eventually, yeah, I'm healed now and I help others with their gut health. But basically, I had leaky gut. I had a bunch of crazy, and I was just so mentally out of it. And yeah, it was like a course of 6 months, and then I healed pretty much January. I was fully healed. And so, yeah, that's a little bit of my story. And Meredith, if you want to go with yours.
I put my body through hell, basically, a few years ago. I was severely anorexic. I was bulimic. I was over-exercising to the point where, like, my bones, like, I probably could have broken a bone. Nothing happened, but I basically put my body into, I crashed my adrenal system. And then a few years later, I got diagnosed with a thyroid condition. And basically my immune system, was attacking my body. And so the antibodies were, how did they say this? They're saying like when your body goes into like fight or flight and it's like in survival mode, it'll attack your body. And so you can't function. You have no energy. You're very like weak. Your limbs are like numb. And so I experienced that 2 years ago. And then my doctor put me on a synthetic hormone, which I'm trying to get off. But I've been on that for a year and a half. And then the other day I just went to a holistic health doctor that does this amazing thing called NET, and it's a neuro-emotional technique stress response for your body. And he basically just does these simple things and tests. Like, he knew what was wrong with me just by doing these simple tests. It was the coolest thing I've ever done. And I just felt like he was so, I like had an encounter with the Lord actually in this session.
Wow.
And oh just my gosh, it was crazy.
Emotional therapy you were talking about.
Yeah, this is, yeah. So basically, it says stress responses such as fear, anger, grief, and many others can sometimes negatively affect us longer after the original event that caused them. When our body fails to let go of these responses, we can find ourselves with unexplained self-sabotaging behaviors, destructive beliefs, phobias, and many chronic physical problems. And so our trauma that like any little thing too, like can be stored in your body. So we were like working on some things, and as he was doing something, like I literally like heard the Lord say, he was like, I was with you. Like in that moment, he took me back to this moment when I was like five years old, and he was like, I was there, and I was just weeping. I was like, oh my gosh, so it was crazy. I'd love to hear your kind of health walk with the Lord, John.
Yeah. So I, you know, have kind of had a rocky relationship with health / food, kind of like similar to religion. it's been all over the place, but I'll just go into what I went through this past year. I haven't really had any major health problems until 2020. And I woke up one morning and all 10 of my fingers were just numb. All the tips of all 10 of my fingers.
Oh my.
And I didn't know why. They were cold and numb. And I was just, it freaked me out, honestly. And, you know, just to give a little backstory, up until that point, as far as spirituality goes, I had seen and still see the Lord do a lot of supernatural healing. Like, and even through my hands, I've seen backs snap into place. I've seen ears open up. I have really incredible stories, because that was one of the desires of my heart was, Lord, I see it in the scriptures. It has to be a thing. And so it's been incredible to see the Holy Spirit move in power in just like mundane places like the grocery store and stuff. But, you know, I woke up and all 10 of my fingers were numb and it freaked me out. And so I obviously went to the doctor and was like, what's going on? And since then, that was over a year ago, I've probably had 40 blood tests. I've been to neurologists, I've been to a bunch of doctors, I've had an MRI, I've had ultrasound, I've had scans, x-rays, et cetera, et cetera. They just don't know what's going on. And I've had, since then, numbness in my hands and feet, tingling in my hands and feet, loss of sensation, thickening of skin in my feet and in my hands. I would get shooting pains in my head, shortness of breath, really bad abdominal pain, like level 10 pain, like I should go to the ER level pain, leaky gut type symptoms for sure. Weird feelings like skin crawling on my, like over my entire body. And then even in my like intestines, it felt like something was moving all the time. I was like, do I have a parasite? I started freaking out because it felt like something was moving all the time. And when you go to a normal medical doctor for something like that, they kind of look at you like you're a little crazy, by the way.
Yeah, they'll send you to psych. And I'm like, I don't need psych medication. I need blood tests.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm perfectly sane, trust me. But it feels like something's moving all the time. So, you know, just a lot of symptoms. And I was pretty vulnerable in that post. There's definitely some times where I kind of lost hope. You know, I couldn't sleep. And so I would have pain through the night. And so I couldn't sleep. And so there was a couple times where I was out for the count for days and sometimes weeks. And I would get really discouraged. Mm. And so, yeah, it's been a journey going through all of those problems, especially not knowing what's going on. And there were definitely times where the only thing I felt like I had to hold on to was God's word. It was pretty intense. There was a couple times I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would hear even a screaming voice saying, "You're going to die." So it was like a spiritual aspect in that way.
It's tormenting. Yeah, it's a tormenting.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So the Lord gave me a scripture to hold on to. Well, quite a few to hold on to, but I would just sit on the piano on those days and like worship to "I will live and I will not die. I will tell the works of the Lord."
Wow.
You know, Psalms, "Forget not all of the Lord's benefits. He forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases. He crowns your life with love and mercy. He fills your mouth with good things so their youth is renewed like the eagles." Just like constantly having a scripture on my mouth, because it was really easy to have all the symptoms on my mouth and just be kind of obsessed with it, because it was a barrage of really kind of scary health problems. So yeah, that's what happened. Do you want me to tell you kind of what I've been doing since then?
Yeah, how's it been going?
So it's a lot better. I don't know how I found it. I was thinking about that today, but I think someone shared a Matt Blackburn post.
And oh, we love Matt.
I went on an IG live with him. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hilarious. He's a character for sure. I basically started incorporating the metabolic diet.
Yes.
And the CLF protocol. So I'm doing systemic enzyme therapy, red light therapy. The thing that gave me the most relief, actually, immediate relief, was a deep tissue massage.
I need that.
Same. Yeah. Knocked out.
Oh, you guys should do it for sure. I felt like my nervous system was on the fritz, is what it felt like. And so when I went to that deep tissue massage, it was crazy how much relief I found. And so I've been doing deep tissue massages pretty frequently for the past 6 months, and that's helped an incredible amount. And then I think that's about it. I'm trying to get a infrared sauna. There's none in my area.
My cousins have a beautiful backyard and they built one. So maybe I can figure out how they did it and let you know.
Yeah, give me the blueprints.
I got you. Really bad.
So I would say 90% of the symptoms are gone. What I'm noticing is sometimes there's these flare-ups of like, you know, 2 to 3 days ish of like where the symptoms kind of come back, and where it's like pain in the stomach, tingling in my hands and feet, that type of stuff. And so I'm about to start working with, I think, a new naturopathic doctor to kind of try and figure out what's going on. But I really just returned to these healthy daily practices where I'm eating metabolically. Giving my body the energy it needs. Yeah, exactly. That's been a huge shift. I've been afraid of carbs far too long.
Oh my God. I was scared to eat an apple. I'm not even joking. I was like, I can't.
Wild. Yeah, it's wild. I would highly recommend, by the way, if you haven't already, Corey Malloy.
Okay.
She has a course and she's actually a fire believer.
Oh.
And I did her course, and there's actually really amazing sections on there about having a healthy relationship with food. And I was blessed. I got encountered by the Lord even listening to it, because you don't realize how spiritual your relationship with food is.
Yeah.
And how many fears are attached to it.
Rapid fire. This or that. Okay. This or that. Rain or shine?
Shine.
Okay. Shine. Stas?
Shine.
Shine.
I do love the rain, though. Sorry.
I know. I love the rain, too. Not tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Woo!
Coffee. 1,000%. Totally guitar or piano?
Piano.
Oh, yep. Piano.
I'll say piano for my mom's benefit.
Okay. hear or smell?
Hear.
Hear.
Yeah, hear. Okay, now that we all chose hear or see?
See.
Yeah, see.
See.
Socks or sandals?
Both.
I love that.
Definitely a sock girl. I don't like my feet.
My feet get cold. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Mountains.
Ugh, I'm like, I can't decide.
The mountains by the beach.
There you go. New Zealand. Both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to go. Okay, I'll say beach. I'm going to say beach. Pancakes or waffles? Or something else?
French toast.
Ooh,
I love it.
French toast.
I need to make that one day. I've never done that. Hand wash or dishwasher?
Dishwasher.
Okay, sometimes though, like hand washing your dishes is therapeutic. I'd be like listening to a podcast or music, and I'm like washing the dishes. I don't know.
Plane or train?
What does that mean?
Like airplane or like train?
Like a plane, like a flight.
Oh, got it. I understand now. Okay. I'm gonna say plane.
I'm gonna say train.
I'm gonna say train. I don't know about
planes.
You would prefer to go on a train somewhere? Like if you were gonna hit up like New York.
In Virginia, and then I went to New York. That's how I got. I was in Virginia, and I visited Lynchburg, and then I went to DC through a train, and it was fine. Really? I loved it.
I love.
Are you guys afraid of flying?
I get like anxiety when before I fly, not on the plane, but like last year I was going to Israel and I never ended up getting there because I had so much fear. And well, I was on the tarmac. We were all getting ready to go fly to Israel from New York, and we were there for 2 hours on the tarmac, and then they were like, oh, we have a security breach, and it was so sketch, and they had us all get off the plane, and I called my mom, and my mom was like very freaked out, and I think I let that affect me, and I was just like filled with fear, and I was like, nope, I'm not going, and then I didn't go. So the Lord's been working on that though, so
okay.
Trains, yay.
Train. Nice.
Okay, last one. America or Europe?
Europe.
Yeah, Europe. For sure.
He said that so fast.
I want to go back.
I've never been. I want to go. My family's from Russia, and I want to visit Russia.
Yeah.
Like, I heard Moscow was really pretty, but...
I've heard, yeah. I've only been to London. I've been to London and Wales, and I didn't get a chance to visit Scotland or Ireland. So that's the UK, obviously, but... I really want to go back. I loved it. I have an affinity for British accents now.
When things open back up, road trip.
There you go.
Teleport me, Lord.
All right.
Yes, God.
All right. Well, thank you so much, John, for coming on this episode. We appreciate your time so much, and we appreciate you like giving your story, your background, everything to our listeners, and we are like your number one supporters. So
thank you so much.
I'll wait until you come out with your new album this year, and we can just pray it out.
Yeah, let's pray. Hey pops, thank you so much for this day. I pray right now, anyone under the sound of my voice, if you're listening, just pray blessing over you, that you would encounter the love of a real father in a sweet way. He's a kind-hearted dad, that the Holy Spirit would visit you even right now in your room or wherever you're listening, to know that you are deeply loved and that you are completely known, and that the Lord is real. He's not fake. He's not lame. He's not distant. He's not harsh. And he's kind-hearted, and he is the light of life. He is joy. He is pleasure himself. So I just pray his pleasure and joy over you, that you'd experience him in a real beautiful way. I pray his blessing over you, that you would be at the right place at the right time, and that no evil would befall you, that you'd be protected from any deadly disease that lurks in the darkness, as it says in Psalms 91, that you'd be protected, that it wouldn't come near your dwelling. I just pray that blessing over you, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give you all the glory, Lord. That was so good.
Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you in our next episode.
Bye. Bye.